Next up, we look at how the schools are doing. We've got Andy Grzkowiak, Siuslaw School District Superintendent, with us. Hey, Andy.
Good morning.
In this episode of Our Town, we've been talking about the housing crisis in Florence and its effect on local hiring. Can you tell us how this is affecting the school district?
Well, it's having a fairly large impact. Again, as we're getting new staff coming in, they're struggling finding local housing. We usually are able to send them listings for local housing, and right now we don't have anything to send them readily available. And we actually have some staff that have been renting that have had their rentals sold out from under them and have been evicted and are looking for housing now.
So you've got people who are coming in, but also people who have been here for a while who can't find housing.
Right.
What are they doing?
Well, again, we've got some people that are looking at Reedsport, Yaha, it's Mapleton. And again, they're just kind of scrambling to find a place more than anything else. And then the board has the business manager, myself, looking at actually the district developing properties of our own to rent to staff, because that's really the only way we're probably going to get through this, because there just is not availability here.
I've heard of universities and colleges doing stuff like that, but that's a pretty outside of the box idea for a school district like Florence.
Right. There are a couple other districts in Oregon that have started with that, with some limited housing. But again, right now, we don't have another choice. Again, it'll be 18 to 24 months before anything could be completed. And we're in the very, very preliminary steps, because a permitting and an entire process with the city and then financing and all the other pieces. I'm not necessarily interested in being a quote-unquote landlord, but again, we've got to get in with our general counsel, you know, real estate lawyer. It's going to be an entirely different process. But with just general availability, which has shrunk, the only way I think to have housing for incoming staff is to have some units that the district builds and then leases out for staff coming in.
And this is part of a kind of emergency process,
right,
in some ways, right? So do you expect to make any money off of this, or how's this going to work?
Again, it's going to be cost neutral, because there'll be tax implications for the employees. And again, there's how this also applies to district policy, because again, technically they're still on district property, not that school is in session. And then how the policy applies to the living conditions and the conditions of the lease and their employment. There's kind of a nexus here of, if you've ever, you know, had, you know, your CC&Rs and your HOA, tie that to a lease condition related to employment on public property, it now becomes, you know, much, much more complicated.
Having it connected to both the city, it sounds like, and issues with the city, the school district, employment, all of that makes it pretty complicated.
Right.
Who would be able to take advantage of this?
Well, again, we would limit it right now to, again, district employees, because that would be our first concern. And then after that, we would look for other large municipal employee partners, or possibly the hospital group.
How many people do you hire per year, or how many people are having this problem right now through the school district or with the school district?
Well, again, right now we've probably have 10 current employees that are out looking, and we probably have 15 incoming employees.
Wow.
That are looking for a place still.
So 25 people who are looking, or families who are looking for housing to get the schools up and running and making sure that kids have teachers and all of that.
Correct. Yes.
So it's a pretty pressing concern. Who is it that you're hiring right now? Because I know you just hired a principal for the high school and you sidestepped this problem just a little bit this time around, right? But doesn't that just kick it down the road a little bit?
It does. Yeah. And again, we've got teachers, aides, across the board, every grade level, up and down. If we're hiring local, but again, it tends to be more turnover in education now over the last 10 years than in the previous 10 years. That just seems to be the trend with younger people. They'll work 5 years in a patch, move. It's just kind of the general trend. So I can't explain why. It's just the pattern we're seeing. especially with younger younger people who tend to kind of job hop, career hop more than others.
And you need people who have particular kinds of degrees for
right.
administration in
yes.
a lot of places, teaching in a lot of places. And so to get the best person, you've got to be looking everywhere for that.
Right. Yeah. And again, you got specialization by grade level, by core content across the board. And so there's a lot of, you know, looking, and sometimes it's very granular. It is one person, one position, one degree field. And again, we are small enough that it is a single person. You know, if we were in Eugene or Portland, it could be departmentalized and you'd have a pocket of people that fill that position. And here it's down to one person in one spot.
Can you talk a little bit about the people who might be coming in over the next year?
Well, again, we are filling a few spots that are elementary primary. So mm-hmm. first through fifth, we're pretty well done with hiring at the middle school, a couple of specialty positions left to go. And then we're making one more decision at, I think, the high school level about kind of a split between fill need for alternative ed versus general math in terms of overall caseload and size. Because we have a bit of a bubble of kids coming through. We've kind of been anticipating this and kind of been bulking up staffing simply because we've got this group of students that tend to be fairly large. And again, for the last couple of years, I'm saying 6th, 7th, and 8th when they hit the high school. And now they're here as pretty much 9th, 10th, and 11th. Our standard class sizes are 100 to 110. This group tends to be 120 to 130. Middle school is going to be 350 next year. Typically, they're about 300. So we've got this bubble that's moving up and through. And that's where we're kind of overstaffing in core right now for the next 6 years or so.
The fact that you can't hire teachers is having a pretty significant effect on students and the number of students in a classroom. How does that affect the way that teaching is done?
Well, again, we're staffing out to make sure that we can keep the class sizes down. So we've been adding staff into the rotation. And when you're adding staff in and you don't have housing to accommodate them, when you've gone from, you know, 3 math teachers to 4 at the high school, when you've increased by 30% and you're trying to find another house for another person, another rental along the line, whatever your problem was at the beginning, it's just that much worse.
Yeah, we've been hearing stories about people living in their cars, living in offices, renting rooms in places. What are people doing from the school district?
Well, again, we've got some people that are really kind of planning right now, you know, kind of the Airbnb 2 weeks at a time till they can actually land something. And that's kind of where they're at, because right now there's this kind of a weird kind of nexus with the turnover in the market is just not happening. Just because we're kind of at the end of the kind of pandemic with the eviction moratorium, there's a pretty good market right now for people that are buying family homes in bulk to turn them over as rental properties. And so anything that is in that kind of price range, price group, is just kind of being bought up above market price as soon as it hits the deck. So as soon as it's coming on, people can't purchase it.
So we were talking about kind of the perfect storm, I've heard it called. Land is in short supply. Building supplies are incredibly expensive.
Right.
We've got people buying up houses to turn them over.
Right.
And a small town and very little existing inventory.
Right. And again, you don't have the turnover of rentals. And so you just have people that are really looking at taking like Airbnbs, and they're going to go for 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, and kind of be kind of semi-itinerant until something actually opens up that they can find. A lot of people are scouring, you know, Facebook for independent listings. We have people that are looking outside, you know, ReedSport, Yahats, Coos Bay.
How's that going? Is there...
We're getting some people that are finding a few here or there, but it's hard because, again, those areas don't necessarily have a consolidated property manager that's turning things over. So,
and it adds an extra 2 hours of commute,
right,
depending on where you are, to
yes.
a day, which affects employment, I would
right.
think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, you want people living in the community where they work. And especially, again, too, if it's a public position, again, you want to be engaged, involved in the community and kind of keep that resource here and home.
Right. So the casino is looking at ways that it can internally provide housing for its incoming employees and even existing employees who are not finding housing. The school district is trying to do the same thing. Are there larger problem solving that should be done at a level other than these individual things, or is that where we need to go with this?
That's a question I don't know if I'm qualified to answer. I mean, I know there's been discussions at the city level about workforce housing.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know how that translates out into greater solution, you know, for the community, because it's not just teachers and nurses and doctors and casino employees, but it's a lot of people that work in, you know, service industry in town, because again, we have a predominantly senior citizen community that depend upon a lot of people that work in service industries. And so if those people can't live in this town, that's a detriment to those senior citizens. And so those people that work in those industries also have children that go to school, and they need teachers that are probably living also in town. So again, it's one thing that kind of compounds upon the next problem.
Yeah, we've talked to a lot of smaller businesses too that are having problems hiring one or two or three employees that are also really critical to the things that serve population in Florence. But it's really interesting to hear these larger employers like the school district and the casino and the hospital and the extent of the problem, right? People's children are involved in this.
Right. I think that's kind of the overall bigger picture, is that you're putting together kind of the future of the town to some degree, is that it's a quality of living, quality of the future piece. And if you don't have teachers here that can kind of educate and promote the kids through the system, you're not going to have children coming back to work in the community. Winds up kind of being, again, a problem that you're going to see not today, but down the road further. And so, again, if people can't live and work in the community, people kind of trickle out. And so I've been to quite a few meetings over the past couple of years on, you know, workforce housing, and we've talked, you know, tiny homes, and we've talked, you know, victory cottages and all these other sort of pieces. And I think they're a great start, but I don't know what it takes to get some of that going forward. That's I think that's the bigger piece.
And I recently talked to a number of real estate agents in town who were telling me that the $250,000 to $450,000 house is what's considered a starter home now in Florence. And mm-hmm. So what kind of salaries does it take to buy a $450,000 right. starter home? And are new teachers able to afford that?
Yeah, I don't know. That would be it would depend on where they are in terms of where they land in terms of experience. Again, a rookie teacher coming out of school might be able to do it, because they would come out with a master's and they'd kind of be mid-scale, mid-level. If somebody came out with just a bachelor's, maybe not. They'd probably have to rent a few years, but some rentals are as expensive as a mortgage, and so they're not going to be able to accumulate any sort of money down for a down payment.
Right. That's what it looks like.
I'm not a real estate magnate. We're struggling helping people find housing. And this year has been more kind of dire than others. And so the district does own property on the backside of the elementary. And we're probably going to look to develop that for some, you know, single family homes and lease that out to incoming district employees. I mean, that's really the only solution we have down the road.
And my understanding is that it's gotten much, much worse post-COVID, but that it wasn't great beforehand, that this is a struggle that's been happening over the last decade to half
right.
decade. It's just gotten much, much worse post-COVID.
Yeah, and it accelerated with all these other real estate market factors and where we are with COVID and just the lack of turnover with kind of the eviction moratorium hitting, and again, that perfect storm of houses just kind of getting snapped up off of the market.
Yeah. So any last words?
When it comes to housing, if you know of a place that's coming up for rent or lease, call the district office and we'll find you a renter because we have them available.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew Grzkowiak, Stanislaus School District Superintendent. I appreciate you coming down and talking to us.
Not a problem.
We'll finish up this housing segment with Chief Administrative Officer of Peace Harbor Hospital, Jason Hawkins, right after this on the July edition of Our Town.